Would you take a different approach than what the congressional delegation is doing in terms of trying to get the State Department involved and have more accountability for companies across the border in British Columbia with those mines? Do you have different ideas for taking care of concerns, downstream concerns here in Southeast?
I think it's really critical that we have somebody at the table there who's willing to listen to the experts, particularly when it comes to, in this case now we're talking about transboundary. We're talking about a whole nother country and the United States, and then add to that our needs in Alaska, which, where we have the biggest and most successful fishery in the entire world, I think, when it comes to some fisheries. And so I am deeply interested in bringing my voice, or rather Alaska's voice, to the table in a more comprehensive way and collaborative, but we just have to make our decisions based on science and what we know and how we've learned from the history of mining, how things might be affected. I'm deeply committed to that, and I'm sure you already know that I did meet with Pebble, and I listened, and I tried to imagine a way where we can have the technology that would allow us to not have impact on the fishery in Bristol Bay. But right now, with the current technology, there just is no way for me to support that. It's the wrong mine and in the wrong location. It represents just far too big of a risk. I will bring that same sort of mindset where, it's important that we have a robust state and federal process, and I'm particularly concerned about the transboundary mining and the role of Alaska's communities in the permitting process. I think we just need to have somebody at the table who's really representing all people. And that's what I'm about. My whole race has been about that I'm not in anybody's pocket other than the people of Alaska. I'm unlike Don Young. My money talks in that way. I'm not taking a dime from corporate PACs. So I wouldn't be beholden to anyone when I'm there at the table collaborating and making decisions. I'm beholden to the people of Alaska only, and I think that's just a different mindset that I will bring. And I hope that Southeast appreciates that and gives me this chance to stand up for what I think Alaska needs, and that's somebody standing up for not only the current situation, but the future fisheries of this, forever resource, if you will.
Sticking on the issue of salmon habitat permitting and the ballot measure, you answered a question in the debate by saying you didn't want to tell people how to vote, and reveal how you were voting. Is that still your position? You're not going to say how you were voting on ballot measure one, and why is that important not to, don't you think
Right.
that can inform voters of what you think about that ballot measure?
I'm happy to talk about the issue. I'm not going to hide from that and what I value, but I think it's also important that I just think it's completely inappropriate, not only with ballot measure one, but also I've been asked again and again about the governor's race. And I'm happy to talk about, values, and you can draw your own conclusions. But when it comes to things like fisheries habitat, I think it's important that, we appreciate that fish are our most important natural resource, and that we need to have well-funded and wise management. I think that honestly, what could have been done is legislation could have taken care of this last year and the year before that and the year before that, when we've tried to ensure that we get some more updated protections of habitat that also included more local input. And I understand and appreciate the frustration both by the people, and I appreciate that the industry's upset. But geez, there's got to be some understanding that we need some nuances here that fully better protect our people in this day and time. I'm particularly interested in bringing back, and I'll mention this again, I said it in the debate, the Alaska Coastal Management Program. That was a way, an institution, which really made a difference in terms of allowing for process and experts to be at the table together along with industry who were looking to extract or build any sort of infrastructure, period. We're the only state in the nation who is not participating in the Coastal Management Program. We're the only state, and we have the longest coast in the nation. So, and with, of course, like you've been mentioning, with a very important resource to us, fisheries. So I will do everything in my power to bring that back. I think we wouldn't be in this mess if we did have that in place, because we've got to protect Alaska salmon from any impacts that might be detrimental.
Staying on the issue of land use, habitat and everything, and switching to the Tongass National Forest, the roadless rule in the nation limits logging and new road building on about 58 million acres of forest land, including a big group here in the Tongass and Southeast. State of Alaska has been challenging that roadless rule in court for over a decade, and the congressional delegation has been trying various ways to repeal that or have Alaska exempted from that. What would be your approach if you're elected as a Congress member with the roadless rule? Do you see it's important to keep that in place or remove it?
At this point where I'm at, and after hearing from many in the Southeast when I'm traveling and, you know, exploring that law as it is right now, or that rule, I'm supportive of the roadless rule. At the same time, I appreciate that there are times when the local community asks for an exception, there may be a place for that. But that's an important caveat. I think that it's especially important that we recognize it needs to be locally driven when there's an exception, and by and large, it's important that we know, too, that it shouldn't be driven by large corporations.
Okay.
And back to my original statement that I probably sound like a broken record about, but I really think it's important that listeners understand that the primary premise of my run, of how I intend to do the hard work of representing Alaska, is that I am not going to be in anybody's pocket. I'm not beholden as I make decisions, and we may not agree on everything, but the biggest piece is that I'm not going to be in any corporate pocket as this decision-making is made. I'm not doing this to get reelected. So I'm not going to be worried about, you know, so-and-so not giving me those dollars that next election. I'm doing this to ensure that Alaska has the kind of future that wherein our children and their children want to be here, because we still are strong.
And during the debate, I wanted to follow up on one issue you mentioned. You were asked, some back and forth about the issue of icebreakers and Arctic infrastructure.
Uh-huh.
In that context, you mentioned the Alaska Marine Highway System, and I didn't really understand your answer. What did you mean by that in terms of funding for Arctic infrastructure?
Yeah, I appreciate your question on that. So I think of the Marine Highway System, it's like a fundamental aspect of our state economy, and it really should be protected and enhanced. And in the same context or conversation around protecting our coastline, I see this as an opportunity to discuss it. Many of our vessels, large vessels, are multi-use, or they're there on standby if they meet the requirements. And that's how they got some funding from the federal government. And it's also true that as we're thinking about access to Alaska's longest coastline and all the way up north, which we don't have access to really for our cutters and such, the idea is to include that, the Marine Highway, as part of the conversation, because it's going to be serving us in multiple ways. Part of it is that I appreciate that it's not exactly the same, but if we need large vessel ports, we need large vessel ports, not just for cutters, but also for multi-use vessels, such as our ferry system, which is not just delivering goods to different communities, but it's delivering people, and it's also delivering those who are serving in the armed services, their entire families. So with that in mind, I think there's a place for discussion around around resources being spent to strengthen this very important highway system. And I get it that, you know, the role of the Arctic in the national defense has not really been adequately used to increase investment in the Coast Guard and related infrastructure for Alaska. And I think it's time for a new representation to bring that to the table.
Okay.
And by the way, sorry, I just wanted to answer about the cutters.
Yeah.
So Russia has more than 40 of them. Alaska has 1.5, if you're counting the one that's not really fully prepared yet or ready. And this is important to recognize because there's a lot more traffic, a lot more activity, if you will, in the Arctic waters, even commercial activity. And we are not prepared, and we don't have, like I said, the infrastructure pieces in place, let alone the cutters themselves. And I think that it's important that we really recognize that we have some work to do in terms of getting Alaska on the map, frankly.
Sure. And by cutters, you mean icebreakers, I assume.
You mean icebreakers,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I do. And I think we need icebreakers and new Coast Guard deployment stations up and down the coast. And but I think that in that same discussion, we can talk about the Alaska Marine Highway System because they also need that same infrastructure. Pieces, the ports that we've been talking about for years but just haven't either modernized or built a port at all. Places like Nome, Kotzebue, even Homer's looking for a more modern and it's missing large vessel opportunities there.
What other topics of Southeast interest would you want to address? Those are the questions I wanted to ask. I know you've covered a lot of some of your other issues, and those have been well covered in other outlets, but areas you think need to be highlighted that haven't been covered?
Thanks. Yeah, well, let me try to address a couple. One is education. I think that it's important. Petersburg is doing a great job with education, but we need to ensure that we have a cradle-to-career mindset for leadership in Washington. We have the least amount of early learning per capita in the entire nation with federal dollars, and at the same time, we have half the readiness of our kids walking in kindergarten. So education is one, and I could talk about that one all day long, as you probably are aware. I'm rooted in public education advocacy, but also healthcare. I think that Petersburg residents, I think there are probably quite a few who are self-employed, and I've been self-employed myself. I think it's important to recognize that healthcare needs to be turned on its ear. We have the highest healthcare costs in the entire nation. And we need to help lift the burden of drugs, pharmaceuticals. I did discuss that some in the debate, but I can't impress upon that enough because it is an impediment to growth in any small business. And the other thing I guess I wanted to touch on, I don't think we really talked about much, is climate change. We didn't really dig into it, and I think it's so critical that we recognize and are ready to study up on the impact of warming water temperatures on fish and ways that we could deal with those impacts. I think that it's pretty unbelievable that our current Congress right now rejects the science around climate change. It's having an undeniable impact on Alaska, certainly on fisheries, and it's likely to have negative impacts that we have yet to understand, particularly in the area, in the industry of fishing. And we just simply don't know what's happening with the oceans and with our fish runs. So we need to strengthen the research in much larger ways than we have been to understand and know what to do. And we don't need politicians who are going to steer research away from the answers that they don't want to hear. It might be tough to hear some of these answers, but that's okay. I'm doing this for the next generation, and we've got some work to do in order to make sure that we're strong for the next set of our kids wanting to have their kids here. And I'm going to fight for the research dollars to study the impacts, and as well as the impact aid for those who are affected by things like collapsing fish stocks, for example. So there's some work to be done, and I can't wait to roll up my sleeves and be there.